Good singing this morning. Enjoyed that special music. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Good to be in the Lord's house this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 1, and we'll be in verses 6 through 8. Going to be looking at a message this morning that I alluded to on Wednesday night at the conclusion of the message there during our midweek service. It's the direction I believe the Lord would have us to go in. As a matter of fact, when I was making those remarks about the message, I was thinking that Thanksgiving was this week, but it is not this week. So who knows what happens? Maybe next Sunday morning there is a message on gratitude or thankfulness or something like that. I thought I was going to have a Sunday morning message that went before Thanksgiving week and not been about those things, but who knows what the Lord has in store for this upcoming Sunday. But Deuteronomy 1, verses 6 through 8, we're going to be dealing with the subject, ye have dwelt long enough. Ye have dwelt long enough. Deuteronomy 1, verses 6 through 8. The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey, and go to the mount of the Amorites, and unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in hills, and in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to give unto them and to their seed after them. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for this time in your house once again. And as your word is opened, I just ask you to lead and guide. I ask you to give me the words you'd have me to say. And I trust, Lord, it'll be a help to your people here at Emmanuel Baptist Church today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes God looks at his people and he says, you've been here long enough. The emphasis today is not on a physical move, but a spiritual move. The children of Israel were camped at Mount Horeb. They were comfortable. They were settled. They were also stagnant. The children of Israel had lost sight of the very real fact that God doesn't just deliver us for the sake of delivering us. He delivers us to something. Never lose sight of the fact that God delivers us from something to something. God did not bring the children of Israel out of Egypt to just circle a mountain and encamp around it. He had a land for them to possess. He had a purpose for them. And the children of Israel would not fulfill that purpose camped out. Sometimes it can be this way in our churches. Sometimes we have sat too long in one place. And as a result, we have become spiritually, emotionally, and at times even organizationally comfortable to then become stagnant. When this happens, a move of God is needed. Because before he can work through us, he must work in us. And this is what the Lord has been communicating to me as your pastor over the last several weeks. The Lord has used conversations that I've had with Brother Mark Thrift, as well as the words that the Lord laid on his heart prior to his message on our last revival meeting. The Lord's also highlighted different spiritual needs to me within the congregation. And it's through the combination of these things that the Lord has impressed on my heart as of two Fridays ago, that Emmanuel Baptist Church cannot possess Jacksonville, Texas for Christ until Christ possesses Emmanuel Baptist Church to a greater degree. God has to work in us before he's going to be able to work through us. And if the work is to be of God and not of man, then it has to be this way. We see in Deuteronomy 1 and verse 7, turn you and take your journey. This was a command. It was not a suggestion. It was a call to get up and go. Now, it's important to realize in the case of the children of Israel that God had been preparing them for this moment. God never drops anything out of the sky without first preparing you for it. You may feel unprepared at times. You may feel as though you had a bomb dropped in your lap of sorts, but not so. In hindsight, we always see God's hand. We always see His direction. We always see His leadership. And I do believe in the case of the children of Israel that they were camped out. They were unpacked. They were in place. But while they were in place, God was working and preparing them to be a people on the move. This time of being in camp for the children of Israel was not a waste. And by the way, Moses wasn't a bad leader because he was obeying God and trusting God and leading the children of Israel while they were encamped. Now, by the way, it also takes leadership to encamp people that God wants encamped. That takes leadership. Especially when you got a man as driven as Moses. Moses was driven. Moses was a driven man. Moses was a leader. But God said, Moses, I need you to lead these people in encampment. I need them to be encamped for a season. And I need you to lead them in this encampment. I want you to know something today. Sometimes God sidelines you in order to work in you, to take you to the next level, to be on the move again. And I tell you today where we are as a church in this story, we are packing up camp. As a church, we're packing up, which is the first step outside of hearing the voice of God to being a church on the move. The question is this: who at Emmanuel Baptist is ready and willing to pack up camp to be a people on the move? Before God works through the church, He must work in the church to bring the church to the place where they are willing to follow His leadership. Part of that is dealing with anything and everything that would hinder a church from being a church on the move. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You may get tired of me saying this morning, but I pray it burns within your heart and mind. In order for God to do a work through us, He has to do a work in us. Which means God's people must allow God to work in them. And I ask you something, how can you help someone if you have not been helped? Strongholds are mental, spiritual, at times even cultural barriers that keep a church from obeying God fully. And I tell you, sometimes when you're packing up and you're going on the move, you have to leave some stuff behind. Because you won't get where you need to be, weighed down. And as we're nearing the place as a church that we become a church on the move, maybe some need to leave behind bitterness that they've been hanging on to. Maybe some need to leave unforgiveness that they've been carrying. Maybe some need to leave behind resentment, maybe anger at God, any number of sins, maybe lying, maybe other sins of the tongue. Or maybe it's good things that aren't best for you or best for your family or best for this church, which implies a scary word, and that's change. Simply letting go. Being a church on the move implies change. Just like when you're driving down the road, you're on the move. Change is all around. There's change in speed, temperature changes, scenery is constantly changing, different weather changes. No two things are hardly ever the same. There's change all around. And folks, if we are going to move forward for God and be a church on the move, we're going to have to leave behind some things. Sometimes we pray for revival in the community, but God says, let me bring revival into the church first. The Lord must break our pride at times, our fear, maybe our traditions at times, or anything that keeps His people bound and stagnant, stuck in place before God can do a work in us. When you consider the day at Pentecost, before the Spirit fell at Pentecost, the disciples were together in one accord. Acts 2 and verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So when the Spirit of God fell, they were in the right place. They were at the right time. They had the right heart. They were waiting on God. They were not working without Him, but they were waiting on working with Him. There was unity. There was surrender that preceded power and outreach. So many people want to fix the community before they fix themselves. Now, this is human nature, by the way. Human nature is to see the problems in other people and put forth much more effort into fixing them than to highlight within ourselves our own problems and put as much emphasis on fixing ourselves. So sometimes we get all out of whack with that. So it's human nature to say, I want to go fix somebody else before I fix myself. That's human nature. We see a command to go ye, but what preceded the command was God working in the hearts and lives of the disciples, bringing them to unity that surrounded a vision. Yet many hyper-evangelists skip that step and just go straight to the community, straight to others. No, the biblical order is God works in us and then God works through us. We begin at God. We are sent out by God. And I'm telling you right now, this morning, I'm waiting with anticipation for God to give me the green light, for us to go out into the community in a unified effort. And it will come, but the Lord has to work in us. It's important for pastors and leaders to allow the Holy Spirit to do the work, which is healing and humbling and cleansing, so that ministry flows from purity and not from performance. God don't want you to just obey the letter of the law. He wants you to obey the letter of the law with the right heart, with the right motives, the right intentions. The Bible says that on our best day, our righteousness are as filthy rags. God cares about purity in service. He cares about willingness in service. God cares about your motives and why you do what you do. I'm sure you remember the church at Ephesus. When we were looking at that church in our study on the seven churches, Ephesus had everything going for it. It was a big church. But the most important ingredient that was missing was a love for Christ. That church in Ephesus, it truly blows the minds of those who say, if you do, then you love the Lord. If you go to church every time the doors are open, you love the Lord. If you soul win, you love the Lord. If you give tithe, you love the Lord. If you give to missions, then you love the Lord. If you give a little extra, then you love the Lord. But not so. Don't get me wrong. If you love the Lord, you'll do all those things. But not because you do all those things. It doesn't mean you love the Lord if you do all those things. That's a legalistic view of sanctification. And I tell you what, and just about all of us can find somebody in our lives who fit everything they should have fit to a T, but was a snake. A Judas. They did everything they were supposed to do as far as man's concerned, and they checked all the boxes, and they had everybody fooled. Just about all of us, if we're honest this morning, we can find somebody in our minds that fit that bill. It's a view that says, if I do, then I'm right with God. If I do, then I love God. But if you remember when we covered Ephesus, Ephesus was a legalistic church, doing everything right, doing church according to man, but Jesus was not loved. Look at something else as we move forward to be a church on the move. Pull up roots that keep us stuck. Hebrews 12:15, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. We're not going to necessarily look at bitterness here, but it's a concept about roots. Some roots are good. We think about faith, love, fruits of the Spirit, truth. These are good roots to have. Other roots choke out the life of the church. Could be roots of bitterness, could be roots of complacency, could be roots of control. Maybe we want control over our own lives. And by the way, each of us as individuals make up the church. And again, the church is not, as we looked at this last Wednesday, the church is not what everybody sees on Sunday. The church is not what everybody sees on Sunday morning. The church is the church on Monday. The church is the church on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That's the church. We're not just the church when we gather. You're the church in your cars. You're the church in your house. You're the church when what you're watching, what you're listening to, how you're conducting yourself when you're all by yourself. Even the Marines used to say character is what you do when nobody's looking. That's who you are. So only the Lord knows from top to bottom who a good church is. Only the Lord knows. I pray we are, but only the Lord knows. There are times, sin in general, there are times that God must uproot to plant something better in its place. When you're in the packing up stage and you're getting ready to go on a move, you're packing up camp, you ask yourself, what must come? What needs to stay behind? If you're getting ready to move, what can be sold? I ain't bringing all this with me. What can be sold? The idea is I'm moving and I cannot bring everything with me. Stuff is clutter. And when you have to carry your stuff, it's weight. I remember in the Marines, and it sounds crazy, but we would have our gear, we'd have everything we needed to spend a month out in the field. We had one pair of camis a week, so we'd go out with four. You wear one for the whole week, and I'm talking, you're sweating. You could about stand them things up somewhere or about beat somebody with them from the salt and stuff that was coming from them things. You were wearing, they're almost crunching by the time on Saturday when you're wearing them from them things. And you had four for the month. So again, you're wearing them throughout the week. And I tell you, there's no worse feeling than take a shower, feel clean, to get back in camis you've been wearing for 4 days. It's just not a good feel. It's not a good feeling. But I remember we were packing up. We're packing up stuff. We're getting ready to hike to our next site where we're going to be camping. And as silly as it sounds, you get used to where you've been staying for the week. You only been there a week. But you've already become attached to the scenery, to the trees. Everything's comfortable. Everything's just the way you want it. You've dug everything out a little bit on the ground and got your sleeping bag and stuff down there, and it's perfectly contoured around you. Next place you got to go to, you're digging out rocks from every, you never know. And then in Hawaii, there was lava rocks everywhere. I hated going out into the field in Hawaii because we'd have to move all the lava rocks out of the way. And you're digging out to get a comfortable place. So all these things are in your mind. We're on the move again. And you think about these things and you think about stuff and how it's clutter and it's weight and some stuff just ain't worth bringing along. You know, at times we would have three or four MREs or something in our pack. And when your pack's about 100 pounds and you're carrying it for a ways, you notice if even one MRE is missing. You know it. You walk with it long enough, a pound could be removed, and you know it's been removed. You know it. We used to like it towards the end of the week because our pack's getting lighter just because we're eating the food. But all that stuff makes a difference. Because stuff, at times, it's clutter. It's unnecessary attachment. Stuff is weight. Some stuff, again, it's just not worth bringing along. Then some things are bad. They're not good for us. And then some things, why the extra weight? Remember Hebrews 12:1, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. If you're going to run, if we're going to be a church on the move, we're going to have to lay aside some stuff. We're also going to have to move on past some stuff. Maybe, again, let stuff go. Maybe do things differently. Jeremiah 1 and verse 10, very challenging verse. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. Now, this was a whole day that was set aside to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. That sounds like a whole lot of change in one verse. A whole lot of change. A whole day was set aside to root out, pull down, destroy, throw down, build, and plant. I want you to know that God will perform the work necessary in His people to prepare them to be a church on the move. As painful as it is, He'll root out. As painful as it is, He'll pull down. As painful as it is, He'll destroy some things. He'll throw down some things. He'll also build some things. He'll also plant some things because He has to. And this is the hard part that precedes being a church on the move. And we've already gone through this. I've not pastored a whole lot of churches, one prior to this one. We've already been through this. You want to move forward with everybody. And the Lord gives everybody a fair opportunity to be a part of the church that's going to be on the move. But at the end of the day, the Lord knows who's going to move with the church and who ain't. And the Lord's going to remove every hindrance from that church being on the move for Him. And I believe the Lord would have us to be a church on the move. He's got to. Before He can build a fresh work. He may have to pull out some old systems, maybe old habits. I invite you, don't resist His hand when He begins to dig deep. He will. There are hindrances in all of our lives to moving forward. I have them too. I may not know all of them. You may not know all of them, but the Lord knows. I believe every pastor has a call at times to refocus the church. In Acts 20 and verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. The pastor must first take heed to himself and then to the flock. The priority is spiritual health before outreach. A church cannot heal the community if it's sick itself. Leonard Ravenhill said many years ago, the tragedy is we have a sick church and a dying world. Before we reach out, we've got to look within. And we must allow the Lord to work in us before He works through us. 1 Peter 4:17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. When the shepherd aligns the church with God's order, I believe the community will feel the ripple effect of revival. One theologian said, the pastor's focus on the church's condition is not neglect, it's preparation. Sometimes we lose sight of that. Many men, and I'm talking many men, have counseled me when it comes to leadership and it comes to leading a church, to prepare the church before you just drop anything into their laps. Prepare them. Prepare them for what is coming. Prepare them in such a way that whenever you present the idea to them, they almost feel like they came up with it. They almost feel like it was their idea. But people must be prepared for the work. And it is work. Ministry is work. It definitely is. All of us have our positions. We do. And it takes work. It takes work. It takes time. It takes preparation. We can't be more prepared for the world and our responsibilities in the world than what we have to the ministry in God's house. We can't be. We can't put all these other priorities ahead of God. We can't. Sometimes we just have the mindset, you know what, God, I'm going to go this far. I'm going to go 20, and I want you to go 80. I'm going to go 10, I want you to go 90. I'm going to do as little as I can, and then I want you to show up at this time, and I want you to bless. We've got to prepare. The last challenge is break camp and move. Deuteronomy 1 and verse 8, behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land. I challenge you this morning that God has more for his people. God didn't save us to just exist. He didn't save us to just come and gather together on Sunday morning or on Sunday night or on Wednesday night and just exist. Just exist in place. No, there's a work for us to do. And we're in a phase right now where the Lord is preparing us for that work. And I invite you, let the Lord pull up every root that needs uprooting. Let him tear down every stronghold. And let him work in us so that he can work through us. And when the church moves with God, the world will see his glory. You can go out and do all kinds of things in your own power, but that don't mean it'll be blessed of God. And the Lord's had to remind me about this, and I've tried. We had our soul winning seminar, and I'm thinking, all right, let's go. And then the Lord's like, pump the brakes a little bit. We got all those tracks stamped, and I was like, all right, we're. I had dates in my mind that I was getting ready to present. And the Lord says, pump the brakes for a minute. And I'm thinking, I don't get it. I don't get it. Why? I don't get it. Let's go. And then over the last few weeks, the Lord has revealed to me why. Because the Lord has to work in us before he can work through us. And I'm not saying, I'm not standing up here today like I'm exempt from that. The Lord's obviously got something to do in me too. He obviously does. But we want to be blessed, and we want this church to be blessed. And when we go out, we want our efforts to be blessed. And we can't do that. And the Lord ultimately knows why. I don't. I don't know anybody's hearts here today. But for whatever reason, we got a red light for the time being for the Lord to work in us first before we get the green light to go out into this community. But we are. We're going out. We are going out. We're going to. It's coming, but it's going to be in the Lord's timing. Lord, as we come before you, we thank you.